So, you want to be my submissive, do you, pet? Are you sure you have what it takes? No, it's not that I've not been satisfied with you so far. I've enjoyed our last few nights together, and I certainly see your potential. You are a very selfless person. Generous. I like that in a submissive. Well, you've admitted that you don't have too much experience with the lifestyle. Sure, you've bottomed plenty, and I can see that you're eager and willing to learn, but being a bottom isn't the same as being a submissive. If you want to explore submission, I'm more than happy to do so. But you should know, it's a whole different world. What I require from a submissive is far beyond what I've asked of you so far. How so? Well, there's a great degree of flexibility on how. I've had 4 previous submissives. Even done a stint of submission myself, and every time is different. Each and every person brings something new to the relationship. Different tastes, different desires, a whole different dynamic and... You know, perhaps it would be easier to show you. You know that door in my bedroom? The one next to the wardrobe that you asked about last week? I told you that you didn't need to worry about it, and that was true. When we were just playing and getting started, well, I didn't want to scare you off. But now that you seem so eager and keen to be my submissive, I think it's only fair that I show you the trophy room so you can really see what you'd be getting into with your own eyes. Oh yes, I said trophy room. Come, it will make much more sense when you see it. Well, pet, what do you think? It's a lot to take in, isn't it? A 6 trophies, each in their own little display. Every one is a symbol of a submissive that means so much to me. And everyone is different in their own way. If these toys could talk, my, what stories they'd tell you. Aw, look at you. I can't tell if it's an expression of wonder or confusion. I bet you don't even know what 6 these things are, or what they do. How perceptive you are. That item you are holding is indeed a paddle. Now, you see, that was the favourite toy of my first submissive. When he came to me, he was much like you. Naive, inexperienced, but so eager. Just endless enthusiasm. He wanted to learn everything there was to know about BDSM and the lifestyle. Now, I admit, I wasn't quite the experienced dominant that I am now. I knew more than he did, but like I said, first submissive and all that. So, we started to experiment together. We tried quite a few different things, and some of it worked, and some were, I guess, more awkward. But quite quickly realised we knew what he liked. He was a little impact slut. Something about the sting of a whip. That moment in between the crack of a whip and the feeling as it bit into his flesh. Or the way I could bring him to his knees with nothing but my hands. The pain of flesh striking flesh. It spoke to him on a deep, primal level. But nothing spoke more to him than that paddle in that case. With my other submissives, pulling out the paddle is a sign of a punishment. When they step out of line or fail to follow my instructions, I'll use the paddle to punish them. They'll endure it, to show that they are under my power. They'll grit their teeth and thank me. And knowing that they're taking it for me despite the fact they absolutely hate it, that pleases me. And the marks that I leave will remind them of their failure to please me. For him, though, it was different. He loved it. He would beg me to use it. That hardly made it an efficient punishment, so for him the paddle was a reward. If he was naughty or if he disappointed me, I would punish him by ignoring him. I would send him back home and refuse to play with him for the rest of the week. Left him on red on more than one occasion. But, on the other hand, if he did a good job serving me, followed my commands and did as I asked, at the end of the week, well, I would reward him with a session with that paddle. I would get him down on his knees and then command him to crawl to me. I'd then put him over my knees and start with a light spanking. After every strike, he'd thank me. Thank you, mistress. And in turn, I would tell him what a good boy he was. After he was all nice and warmed up, I would give him what he wanted and pull out the paddle. I'm sure you've noticed, but this paddle was particularly special. He bought it as a gift for me. One side is relatively plain, with a nice little heart pattern printed on firm leather. But on the other side is really special. That has a couple dozen pointed studs on it. I was consistently surprised at how much of that he could endure. I would often find myself spanking him with it until it looked like he would almost draw blood. His arse a delightful pattern of painful pinpricks from the studs and slowly blooming bruises. And when I would put the puddle down and whisper in his ear what a good boy he was, well, all he would ever do is beg for more. That's how deep down he was in his submissive state. Of course, as the paddle being in my trophy room may indicate, eventually we parted ways. He desired constant submission. 24/7. And at the time, that was not something that I could give him. So he left and I found myself a new submissive. Which brings me next to this little trophy case. And I do mean little. See, if my first submissive loved to internalise the pain, my second was all about denial. And that's why he had this. A nice little chastity cage. How does that work, you ask? Oh, you sweet, innocent thing. It's a cage for your cock. You place that ring there at the base of your cock and then squeeze the shaft into the cage at front. And then you lock it. And I have the key. I know. You would never believe you could fit a cock inside of that. And he wasn't that small either. But, my dear, would you like to know the most surprising part? This wasn't even the smallest cage I put him in. Now, granted, it wasn't the first one. When he came to me, he already had a bit of experience with chastity and already had his own cage. So we started with that one. I'd edge him, get him right to the edge of orgasm, and then lock him back up before making him eat me out. It was an evening ritual that worked quite well for both of us. I got pleasure and get to come, and he got the denial he so desperately craved. Eventually, however, he wanted more. He'd become too comfortable in his cage, too used to it. The denial wasn't doing much anymore and he was constantly leaking to the point where it felt he may as well not have been wearing it. So, that's where the second cage come in. The previous one was about twice the size of this, and when we first squeezed him into this, it was pure agony. Once again, he felt the joy of denial like new. Of course, I didn't let the increased focus on his discomfort and denial affect his duty for me. It may have been significantly harder for him, but we would still do our nightly ritual. After all, each submissive may serve me in a different way. But what's important is that I remind them that they are my submissive, and that their desires and pleasure are secondary to mine. He cried every time I put him back in his new cage that first week. At first, I was worried that we'd gone too far and that he needed a release. But when I asked him about it, he begged me not to. It turns out they were tears of joy. The way he felt with me was like nothing he'd felt before, and in fact, he was over the moon. After a while, though, we faced the same dilemma. So we had to downsize once more. Oh, I wish you could have seen his final cage. It was so tiny. A little nub of a thing. They call it a Noel Bulge cage, and it certainly lived up to its name. I don't know if he's still wearing that one. Our time together was cut short. His job sent him overseas, and we tried to maintain our relationship over a distance, but it wasn't the same for either of us. So I sent off his key and wished him the best. Now, my third submissive, he was something quite special. I was his dominant daddy and he was my sweet, sweet submissive sissy. And his favourite thing, the thing he loved above everything else, was being pegged like the good little girl he loved to be. And that's why I have this beautiful strap on displayed. I could have put his cage in the trophy case. He loved to be locked like my previous submissive, and he had a cute little pink one. I could have put in some of the sexy slutty lingerie or clothing I dressed him up in, all pretty and pink with frills and lace, like a perfect sissy should have been. But this was his strap, and I couldn't imagine using it on anyone else. It's not my first. You already met that one last week. And you took it quite well. No, this one was another trophy, bought specifically for its submissive. You see, when I met him, I was a far more confident dom than I had ever been. And he already had plenty of experience. So, for the most part, we fell into a rhythm quite quickly. He would go to work and do his boring day job in suit and tie and be the man that everyone expected him to be. Look at all his charts, make tough decisions and all that corporate nonsense. But the moment he stepped through my door at the end of the week, that all changed. As soon as he walked in my front door, before I had even closed it, he would be stripping off his suit, getting ready to put on his lacy little outfit and my collar. And from that moment forward, he wouldn't have to worry about any of that stuff. Charts, emails, meetings. He had to just look pretty and let Daddy make the decisions for him. And my, oh my, did he look pretty. You should have seen the way his eyes rolled back into his head every time I put the tip of my strap on in his ass. Though he preferred to call it a boy pussy. Those little moans he squeaked out with every thrust. The way his pretty voice begged me to pound him deeper and deeper and faster as he gripped the pink sheets tight in his fist as he tried and failed to suppress how desperate and how needy he was. Well, I think you get the point. He was a great sissy, but there was one thing he wanted that I simply couldn't give him with my strap. He wanted me to come inside of him. And that's the problem that this big, beautiful strap solved. How? Look closer. Do you see that hole in the base there? It's a hollow dildo, designed exactly for this. You see, it comes with a nice little vibrator that you can just put inside that gap. Pleasure for both of us. But the best part about this is it comes with a reservoir that you can fill with some nice fake cum and then squirt it out whenever you want. Fuck. The first time I used this to come inside of him, he came right through his pink little clitty cage. And after that, well, I'm sure you can imagine, he didn't want to go back to the regular strap. As for why he left, well, there are some stories that you don't need to hear. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make things uncomfortable. Believe me, when I want to make you uncomfortable, you'll know, but these trophies are a testament to that. Speaking of, I have seen you eyeing that feeding bowl. My fourth submissive. He was my good little bitch. And I don't mean that he just liked to be called degrading names. You see, he was really into pet play. All my submissives wear my collar, but he was the only one that loved it when I put my leash on it too. He was interesting in a lot of ways. I suspect you could learn a lot from him. Unlike my other submissives, he was never interested in sex. That doesn't mean we didn't fuck occasionally, but he was always happiest with his arms and legs tied in binders that made him walk on all fours, the little tail plugging his arse. He could stay like that for hours. I honestly don't know how his muscles didn't wither away at the amount of time he spent in that bondage. Though I suppose all the crawling he did keep them toned. He was also the closest that I had to a full-time submissive. I know I said that's what caused my first sub to leave, but by the time this one came around, I was willing to push the boundaries a little bit more, learn more about myself. So, hence the feeding bowl. He stayed with me for days at a time, sleeping in his little cage, eating and drinking from his little doggy bowl. I even managed to toilet train him to use the litter box like a good little bitch should. And he learnt tricks. He was such a good little bitch. Normally, puppies need a reminder of their station here and there, but he never needed much discipline. I didn't even have to gag him from using human words. He would always use his little barks and yips and whines. Of course, that's not to say he didn't misbehave, but when he did, it was just in the ways that you would expect a dog to. Jumping up on the sofa in the middle of a movie trying to get my attention. Being overprotective and territorial if I brought another man home. Typical puppy things. But despite all of that, he was still one of my favourite submissives. There's nothing quite like snuggling up on the couch with him. Gently nuzzling at me while we watch something at the end of a long, hard day. He was my most recent submissive too. We only parted ways a few months ago, after he found someone else that he hoped to spend the rest of his life with. She occasionally sends me photos of their time together, and it seems my training has worked out very nicely for her. Oh, right, indeed. He was my most recent submissive, I didn't lie, but there are still some trophies remaining. Of course you recognise a bull gag. That's not the one I used on you, however. That one has been in its little trophy box for many years now. I wouldn't dream of removing it. That one. That's actually mine. You see, I wasn't always a dominant like I am now. When I was first introduced to the lifestyle, it was on the other side of the whip. I had a boyfriend at the time who was wanting to experience being dominant. And this won't shock you, knowing what you know now. Well, the whole idea of whips and chains did arouse me. Excited me. So I was more than willing and eager to give it a try. It was a disaster, though. We tried to do 3 scenes, and each of them was just a different kind of disaster. The first time, we spent an hour fumbling with ropes. And when he finally got me tied to the bed, well, bless him, he didn't have a clue what to do. The next time, he prepared the ropes and had a whole script for all the dirty talk and foreplay. But that just felt so mechanical and unnatural. And then finally, the final scene, it ran fine. Which just made me realise that I really wasn't cut out to be a submissive. It turns out the reason that I loved the idea of the whips and the chains was because I wanted to be the one using them, not having them used on me. Still, I wouldn't be the dominant I am today if it hadn't been for those few awkward experiences. And they did give me an appreciation for what my submissives feel. It may not be for me, but knowing how difficult it can be, how it feels to give up your control and to completely surrender yourself to someone in that way, so vulnerable. The level of trust that involves, well, that's why I keep this gag. It's to remind me of what you feel or any submissive feels in any given situation. Being a dominant is not something I take lightly. I cherish the trust placed in me. I think it's important that you know that if you truly want to be my submissive. Speaking of, that brings me to the final case. Now, I told you that all of my submissives have worn my collar, and well, this is it. All of them wore the same collar. And the one that you see in that case right there is the one I now offer to you. Should you still desire it, I can take this collar out of the case and place it around your neck. Then we can truly begin to explore what your submission would look like. I'm sure you will have plenty of ideas after these stories these toys have told, and I would be very eager to find what trophy may signify your submission. Perhaps you'll end up being a rope bunny who loves the feeling of bondage, or maybe we'll end up exploring something entirely new together. Whatever it is, I can't wait to find out. If you feel the same, all you need to do is tell me and I'll open up this box. So, my good boy, are you ready to submit to me?